somebody's report of their situation with some disease, you need to immediately say, and to take every thought captive, and Holy Spirit is the one that can help you do that, mm-hmm. every thought captive, really to the Word of God. You need Holy Spirit to help you there.
That's
but
right.
you need to practice that as you go through your life so that you don't develop a sickness consciousness.
That's right.
Or an accident consciousness.
And He calls us children, Darren. He actually calls us, and you were talking about 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has given to us, or lavished upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Well, here in verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs, and heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. That means we don't get a portion of the inheritance. We get it alongside Jesus. We get the whole thing with Jesus, not just half. We get everything with Him. We're fellow heirs with Him.
Oh, well, I don't think you can truly be a fellow heir with Jesus Christ unless you've received the same things. Mm-hmm. Well, one of those, I wouldn't call Holy Spirit a thing, but one situation you need to have in your life to really make you on par here with Jesus, because it's talking here about you being a joint heir. And a lot of people flippantly say that. Mm-hmm. You need the same experience, the same things in your life that Jesus had if you're going to truly be a joint heir with Jesus.
That's right. And some of you are so struggling. You say, well, I don't feel like a child of God. I don't feel like a joint heir with Jesus. Well, in verse 26, and we're going through Romans 8 pretty quickly here, but as you read Romans 8, you're going to become free. You really are. And I would recommend a translation other than the King James, a New American Standard, or even if you're a young child in Jesus, a Living Bible is better because it explains it. But in verse 26, and in the same way the Spirit helps our weaknesses. Now here, if you're saying, I feel so weak, He helps us in our weaknesses, Darren, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us, groaning for us, and giving us those things
okay,
we
now
really
let's
need.
Back up here. How do you know in this verse when it says the Spirit Himself intercedes? That's what the words say, but how do you know that's talking about Holy Spirit? Just give a little explanation of that.
Because we realize that as we speak in the Spirit, that is with a language we don't know. Our mind cannot comprehend it. Paul says, and we're going to be studying this.
No, you missed my question.
Oh.
when you read, and it has a capital S, it's talking about Holy Spirit.
That's right. Oh,
and here we're reading
that's
along.
That's simple.
Yeah, it is simple.
I was going to go through with theological.
But you know, a lot of people miss that.
Mm-hmm.
See,
yes.
We're talking, how do you know it's Holy Spirit? How do you know it's that Spirit, not mm-hmm. that one over there? How do
yes.
I know it's that Spirit, not some other Spirit?
Oh, that's right. And we're going to find, as Paul talks about in the Spirit, he's talking about speaking in unknown tongues. And we're going to talk about that in our next message, how in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, how we know that when Paul talks about in the Spirit, he's saying not English people or not Aramaic the way he spoke, but in an unknown tongue.
But when it says here in Romans 8:26, in the same way the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for
That's
words.
Right.
And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God.
Oh, hallelujah.
Many times when I have had things coming against me, you will come to me and say, Darren, I want you to know that God is for you.
Mm-hmm.
The great counsel. And I appreciate that, Barbara, and we need to be telling that. See, when we know that God is for us and the Holy Spirit is searching out the mind of God, He's searching out this very positive message. God is not up there trying to figure out a way to beat you out of salvation.
No, because Romans 8:28 here then says, we know that God causes all things to work together for good. And you're saying, all things? And I said, yes, as your attitude in thanksgiving is given up to God, as you praise Him and thank Him in everything, not maybe for everything, but in everything, according to 1 Thessalonians 5, God's going to take that which the devil meant for evil for you and work it for good. That's what it says here. God is going to make everything work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. And Darren, it's such an encouragement to know that Holy Spirit calls us, He justifies us, He glorifies us, He does the work. When we yield ourselves to Him, He does the work in us.
Well, I like
Praise
the matter that He
God.
Searches the depths of God's mind and brings us God's delivery plan for us.
Oh, let's go to that chapter.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
Oh, praise God.
Now we're getting over into something I just love to teach. And when I came to you, brethren, 1 Corinthians 2:1, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with the superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. Now some people come and they're such flowery orators, and they have such a great command of the English language. Mm-hmm. If they don't have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you can tell it in about 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. That they're up there blowing and going, but they're not empowered by the living God.
That's right.
And you know, one thing they said, even the people of the day said about Jesus, he speaks as a man with authority.
Yes.
If you don't have Holy Spirit, you're not going to be speaking with authority. I don't care how many degrees you have, how many seminaries you've been to or Bible schools, even how long you've studied Scripture. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that powerful anointing, you won't have what it takes to remove burdens in people's lives.
That's right.
And you got to have that.
That's right. And here was Paul, educated with the finest Pharisees, the finest education that a Jew could be educated with in those days. And he says in verse 2, I determine to know nothing, nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. There is the message of the word, the message of the word.
And then he goes on to say, and he's talking here about the flesh, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. Now, see, many people are very persuasive.
Yes.
You can turn on Christian, quote, Christian television, secular television. You see many that are very persuasive, you know, in an educational sense, in a literary sense. But it says, my message was not like that, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and
capital
of power.
Capital S again.
But he's talking about power here, and that's dunamis, number 1411 in the Greek. That your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God.
Yes.
Do you know, many people are in churches, Barbara, where they've never had an opportunity to see the power of God displayed. And so their faith doesn't rest on that.
And the greatest thing that their children can do is go to a state university and get a degree.
That's what they think.
Oh, that's what they think. How sad, because he said it doesn't rest on the wisdom of men, on the men's worldly systems, but on the power of God. And we don't teach our children about the power of God enough.
And I'm going to say that that wisdom of men many times, folks, is accumulated knowledge. I have several years of college, maybe several years too many, but that's not where the anointing comes from.
Mm-hmm.
It's not how much school learning you have, let's say it that way. It's how much anointing you have from Holy Spirit that can change things in people's lives.
That's right. And it says here, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood or can understand. They can't understand this wisdom from God, Darren.
Now, I believe that when we talked there in Romans 8 a while ago, about you're redeemed, but you're also glorified.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that comes along, and I thank you for this revelation, Barbara, that when we get into our perfect blueprint, mm-hmm. God begins to show us. We stick out like a sore thumb in the workplace.
That's right, that's right.
And in our professions or wherever God has placed us, because that anointing has come on our lives and things start, well, let me say it this way, great favor starts to come on our lives. And
yes.
It says in 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all favor abound unto you.
Yes.
You need that favor to make it through life.
That's right. Praise the Lord. And he wants only good for you. And it says here in 1 Corinthians 2, we're in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them. Darren, this isn't for heaven. This is for earth. Eye has not seen what God has prepared for us here on this earth before Jesus comes. I truly believe this verse is for the now.
Okay, but you back up to verse 7. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. You're not going to have the revelation on what these scriptures are saying without Holy Spirit opening up your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, what we're at a crossroads here where one concept we haven't talked about in this message is this. There's legal faith and there's vital faith. There's legal understanding and there's vital. You need to move from what it says on the printed page to a vital understanding of what God intends for you to have.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit is the one that can give you that revelation, so you're not going just by the logos of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have the logos step you into a rhema understanding of what God is saying here, and so that your faith won't rest just on teaching and on theology and on church doctrine, but you're going to move on to a revelation of what God really sent Jesus to tell us about.
And I believe baptism of Holy Spirit, that is
exactly.
The key. That is the key.
That's the crux.
It says in verse 10, "For to us God revealed them these promises, these